Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Slapshot Radio is on. An hour of fun, informative hockey talk with Predators PA announcer Paul McCann. Thanks, Paul. Former NHL player and coach Brent Peterson. And third man in Zach McCann. This is Slapshot Radio on Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app. It is week 9 of quarantine. Week 9 of social distancing. And you know what? They can distance all you want. You just can't stop the hockey talk. And tonight, we are going to talk with not one, not two, but three-time Stanley Cup champion, twice as a player, once as a coach, the one and only Terry Crisp is going to be joining us. And I will tell you, Terry actually owns one of the most politically incorrect segments we ever did on Slapshot Radio. It's all brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from White Cart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, the good folks at Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, featuring curbside delivery, home delivery. Check them out at coolspringswines.com. And Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Nashville, three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. Shop them online at lazyboy.com. I'm Paul McCann, our co-hosts. Our former NHL coach and player, Brent Peterson, and the host of the Preds Watch Parties, Zach McCann. Coach, there is going to be someone on the show tonight that has three Stanley Cups. And it's not me.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm really excited to tell everyone about the Stanley Cups that I've won. And I think it's really, really exciting.
This is going to be fun. And, you know, Crispy is let's just put it this way. It's always an unpredictable time with Terry Crisp. But Coach, how are you this evening? Going stir crazy yet?
Yeah, a little bit. But if we're real good tonight, we can break that record that Crispy did last time for you. So maybe we can get him going here.
Hey, Elijah, we're on a delay, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're on it. They can fix it for us.
I'm hoping, Elijah. Maybe we better go with a 70-second delay instead of a 7-second delay, Elijah.
I mean, we got about 10 good seconds for me to respond.
All right, good.
I think, hopefully, we're good.
We may need that tonight on Slapshot Radio. So, you know, a little bit to talk about in Pred Nation. Obviously, you know, as people get kind of antsy, I mean, I'm sorry, driving over here and seeing traffic tonight kind of freaked me out a little bit. You know, people are getting antsy, people are getting impatient, that's for sure. And, you know, there is news beginning to break that one of the sports leagues may be coming back. Looks like baseball may be announcing that spring training 2 is going to begin at around the beginning of June and opening day July 1. Nothing confirmed for Major League Baseball. But if that's the first thing that cracks, you wonder, when is the NBA, when is the NHL going to turn around? And it's interesting because on NHL.com, they were talking about for the NHL to come back, that the testing is just absolutely critical. And Coach, I mean, you've been in the room God knows how many times. You know, certainly a flu, a stomach bug, something like that will fly through a locker room in a heartbeat.
And this one, you know, this virus is very, very contagious, and it just once one guy gets it, you just can't keep everybody away. You can have your own water bottle, you can have your own, but you have to sit beside each other in the room. And even if they distance themselves in the room with a bigger room or something, or so many people apart, they still would have to come in contact with players from both teams to play the game, and even practice. So we might not even get through the first practices, but everybody's hopeful that we can get going. And like you said, you're in the airplane, and you're just like an airplane, just like a, it's just like a contagious, so contagious through the air there that it'd be tough to do. But I think, you know, everybody's going to still try to do it and make sure that I saw some people out today that took their masks off and they're eyes at the Home Depot and they're starting to let their guard down a little bit. And I think everybody should just relax and just go ahead and keep the masks on and not do the same thing that we've done to get to this point, to the better point we're getting at.
Hard to disagree with that, Coach. And, you know, it's interesting that the deputy commissioner of the NHL was doing quite a few interviews over the weekend. And when he was talking in, you know, in Edmonton, what I liked hearing out of the deputy commissioner, Zach, is that they're not going to test, you know, in other words, if it's not widely available in the community, if folks that absolutely need them aren't getting the testing, the NHL's not going to say, give it to us first. I like that. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, how many times, you know, when this whole thing first broke, did everyone get a little upset seeing, oh, okay, so if you're rich or you play in the NBA, you can get a test, but Joe Schmo, who, you know, works down at the hardware store, couldn't if his life depended on it. I mean, and that's just part of the meritocracy and, you know, an aristocracy that we live in, unfortunately. But the thing is, with baseball possibly coming back, I know it gets everyone antsy and thinking when the next step is, but by the very nature of hockey itself as a sport when compared to baseball. Baseball,
the contact.
Yeah, you have contact. In baseball, you're not really around other people for the most part. The only time is when there's a base runner nearby. And then you're in the dugout. When you're playing the actual game, social distancing is kind of part of baseball already.
A little bit. You know, but it is interesting because when you look at what's going on, you know, in the National Hockey League, you know, I don't know if you remember, noted enforcer George LaRocque. He got diagnosed with it, and actually he's, the really good article on NHL.com, got diagnosed with it, first started feeling off last Monday, and by Thursday he was in the hospital.
This thing sucks.
Yeah, it's not fun. So we talk about that. We can also talk about another signing, Ben Harper, for the Predators, another prospect gets signed to a year contract. Zach, what are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I mean, you gave up a guy who, you know, has certainly some Predators history in Mika Salamaki for him, so it's good to see that you didn't let him walk for anything. I mean, the highlight package on this guy isn't exactly super impressive, but, I mean, you know, it's good to lock up young talent early and see what you can come up with for him. The cost wasn't super high. Mika Salamaki wasn't going to play in this lineup, and I think, if nothing else, this is shoring up the Admirals a bit for next season.
Agreed. And Coach, you know, what's interesting, because of this kind of topsy-turvy season, you're now, there's a good possibility that the NHL draft could happen before the conclusion of the existing season. This has got to be, I mean, Coach, put yourself in the shoes of the coaching staff of the Nashville Predators. I mean, how do you get the kind of in-depth information that you need to really execute a solid draft in this kind of situation?
Well, the NHL is a little bit different than the NFL. The NFL has the coach and the GM and the scouts all together, and the coach and the GM are there, but they're usually administrative duties for the Predators, and the scouts really do the scouting all over the world for players for the amateur draft. And then the player comes over and plays and that year, or he goes back to his home country and plays in that country. So a lot of our things are done. We could be playing the games while the coaches could be with the team. We would be playing games, and then the scouts could do their job at the draft. So it wouldn't interfere with the draft at all. It wouldn't interfere with anybody playing with the draft, because the general manager and the coach are usually there, but the coach would not have to be there at all, because he doesn't see anybody amateur-wise at all in the year. A lot of the coaches, Heimendinger used to tell me, he used to have to go through miles and miles of video just to pick out one of his offensive guys that they're going to play. And we never, even though David's very transparent and very good with his personnel, he still relies up to the scouts to make the picks and that. He doesn't ask the coach, who has never seen those guys play 30, 40 games a year, and some of them see those guys that much. So that's the way they do it in football and hockey. And I don't think it would interfere with the draft at all, and it would not interfere with the hockey playing at all either.
I hate this with a burning passion, and here's why. I think that as a bubble team, which make no mistake, the Predators are a bubble team when mm-hmm. you're, you know, a point or two in the wild card spot and, you know, that close to being out of the playoffs, you are a bubble team.
Right.
How on earth can you have an easy draft and knowing what you're going to do when you don't know if you've even made the playoffs for this season yet?
It's
near impossible. So at this rate, if you go by the standings right now, the Predators aren't in the lottery. They're in the playoffs.
Now, they're looking, actually, what they're looking at is only the bottom five teams, like they've done it previously. Is the word that keeps coming out is, you know, only the bottom five teams would have that shot at the first one.
And so. I get that, but really the biggest reason why I can't stand this idea, roster freeze. One of the best things of the trade of the draft is seeing players get moved for picks.
Yeah, it's
at
true.
This rate, the roster is frozen. The trade deadline has passed. You can't trade players for it. So at that rate, you're not going to have anything on moving up or moving down in the draft at that rate.
Well, you want to have some fun? Open that back up.
Yeah, you'll never see that.
No, you won't, but it would still be fun.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be great if that was the case, but it's not going to happen. So at this rate, you're losing everything that makes the draft at this point. It's just a matter of like, okay, so who's your consensus number one pick? All right, Alex Lafreniere is going to Detroit, you know.
Yeah, it'll go like drafts have gone. You know, probably go back 20, 30 years ago, and you might as well hold
it. Last year we saw P.K. Subban get moved at the draft.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think you'll see that same kind of thing in this one, that's for sure, especially if it happens ostensibly in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. So it's
they couldn't let two teams that weren't in the playoffs just make a trade between themselves. So you're right, Zach. You need to have the trades in that, but for just a drafting situation. You know, you don't need the coaches and the GMs there. You have the scouts there. And I don't like the situation either because, like you say, the trades are the biggest part of the draft. It's fun to see what's going on at the trades, and the trades are big and they're huge and they're always eventful. But you know, you couldn't trade with a team that was going for the Stanley Cup playoffs at the time.
Yep. No.
We're not going to get started by then either. So it's a tough situation for everybody. But you don't have to have all the people there. That was the point I was trying to make, and it'll be fine if they did it, but there'd be a lot of headaches. So you have a lot of logistics to overcome.
You do what the NFL did.
You end up with that. You're right. Well, I mean, we have a lot to talk about tonight. Crispy going to be joining us for the next two segments, but also want to remind everybody, hey, you know, today is actually the anniversary of the Nashville Predators being awarded a National Hockey League franchise. Think of all the stuff we've been through in the last 23 years after that. Also, keep in mind, tomorrow night, Thursday night, I'm sorry, but they are two of the sweetest games that are going to get replayed on Fox Sports Tennessee that you could ever see. Game 3 and Game 4 of the Western Conference first round in 2017. The best part of the first two games?
No Chelsea Dagger.
No Chelsea Dagger. That's exactly right. So we're going to be right back with Terry Crisp right here on Slapshot Radio. But first, do want to tell you about the good folks over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Man, I tell you, the office is not open right now. They are looking at a few things to try and see if they can get things going fairly soon. But they do remind you to make sure that you're taking good care of your teeth. Make sure, because good oral health leads to good health, period. So, you know what? You don't take any chances. Make sure you're brushing. Make sure you're flossing. Make sure you're doing the things necessary to keep your mouth as healthy as possible from the good folks at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. You can check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com. Follow them on Facebook for office opening information, and then you can call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles. I miss Nash.
You're usually saying welcome to the ice right now.
Yeah, right. Just about that. Yeah. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Streaming live on the Game Nashville app. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you for another ridiculous hour of hockey talk here on The Game. And you know what? Our bona fides are about to go through the roof right now. I mean, when you have a three-time Stanley Cup champion on your show, you know, it starts to go up a little bit. You got to love that. So welcoming back to Slapshot Radio, the author of potentially the most politically incorrect segment we ever had as part of this show, the one and only Terry Crisp. Terry, welcome back to Slapshot Radio, my friend.
Paul, you know what? I miss you and Denise and your family. You're still full of BS.
Oh, that's true.
Hey, the quarantine doesn't change you, obviously.
Well, you know what?
Same. And that's, you know what? That's why we love you, buddy.
That's all right. Hey, love you. No, I'm not full of it. I have blue eyes. It means I'm a quart short. Anyway, so Crispy, you know, we wanted to get you on and we wanted to talk a little history because, I mean, today is, you know, the 22nd anniversary of the awarding of the Nashville Predators to Nashville. And honestly, you have a very unique history when it comes down because, you won the cup. You played for, you know, basically three different expansion teams, St. Louis, the New York Islanders, and the Philadelphia Flyers, all expansion teams. And you also coached an expansion team. So how did that work for you? I mean, going from St. Louis to New York and New York being, again, another first-year team, was that something very familiar to you? It was like, okay, I'm going from one brand-new team to another one.
No, you know what? It wasn't really, guys. I got a quick story to tell you. When we went from 6 to 12 teams, and I belonged to the Boston Bruins back then, for $100, you signed a C card. And for $100 back then, it was like a fortune to me, so I signed it. As soon as I put my name on the line, I belong to the Boston Bruins. So there's only six teams. You go to training camp, you make the team, you sit, you buy a place, you to get shipped to the minors. And that was 4 years of my career. And after the third, like I told you, I was going to quit, got married. My wife said, no, you're not. She says, not for the rest of your life. You're going to say, I could have been a NHLer, but I got. So we ended up in my fourth year in the minors in Oklahoma City. They went from 6 to 12 teams. Boston didn't protect me because they had a lot of young guys, et cetera. Blues picked me up, which was one of the best things that ever happened to me. But looking down the road backwards on that, the Blues picking me up was a great move. I got to play under Scotty Bowman. And to me, Scotty Bowman is one of the greatest. No, he is probably the best coach ever, in my estimation, my poor man's estimation of coaching. And I got to play for him. Then when the next expansion came along, I thought the Blues would protect me because Scotty told me, Al Arbor told me, the owners told me that I was going to be protected, et cetera, et cetera. And then I wasn't protected, and I got drafted by the Islanders. So I had to phone Al Arbor, my best friend and coach, and I said, Al, you better watch your trainers because they're trading all your players away on you. They're getting rid of them. You better watch. So I go to the Islanders. I go to Philly. I go to Tampa Bay. You know what? Every move along the line, every move along that ladder was fun. It was entertaining. It was part of what I'd chosen to become. And with my wife, Sheila, and our family, we moved along. And the greatest part, one of the best, nicest things happened was that we're sitting here right tonight talking to you guys.
Oh, is it? Yeah, he's good. I don't care. He is good. And you say I'm full of BS. Anyway, hey, Coach, you got a question for Crispy?
Yeah, Crispy, I know you've been a player on a Stanley Cup team and a coach, and now you've been in broadcasting the last 25 years or 20 years. Which one of those things would you pick if you had to pick one of them that you enjoyed the most?
Coach Goodwin, good talking to you, Coach. By the way, how are you feeling before I go any further?
I feel great. I feel good. I'm strong. I'm ready to go.
That's what I want to hear. I can dress you and play you. That's what I want to hear. Back to your question. There's no thing better in life than a first. A first time you visit a place you've dreamt about. A first time you've had a holiday at a cottage you wanted. The first kiss you had in high school, et cetera. And as an athlete, there's no greater thing than winning the thing that you've accomplished, no matter what sport it is. And when I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to be on the 74 Stanley Cup team as a player, with the Flyers, that cannot be duplicated. When that game ended and that buzzer went, I looked up at my parents in the stands, my wife in the stands, my children. I gave them the thumbs up. I gave them the thing because you know what?
it finally, I'd reached the pinnacle of what I wanted to do or what I was fortunate enough to do. And whether I ever won another one, whether I ever played another game in the NHL, my name went on the Stanley Cup. So, Coach, I'll tell you right now, as a player, you cannot duplicate a championship walking back into that dressing room and winning as that.
Totally agree with
that. As a coach,
well said.
As a coach, you know what happened when I won it as a coach and the buzzer, the finally in Montreal the year we won it, and I was coaching Calgary. When that final buzzer went and I won the cup as a coach, you know, the first thing, and you'll appreciate this, Brent, as a coach, first thing that went through my mind, truly, I saved my job for another year. Really?
Another few weeks, and that's about it, eh?
And nothing carved in stone, Coach.
You know what, Crispy, it is fascinating because hearing you talk about that, I mean, you know, I'm always reminded of the message on the chalkboard when you guys went out for the last game of that first championship series. And that was Freddie Scherrer writing, "Win tonight and walk together forever."
Yep.
How true
You're
is
right
that?
On.
How true is yep. that? When you get together with your old teammates from Philly, you were just back up there, you know, a little while ago, you know, for a reunion of those teams. How does that, you know, for Ed Snyder's memorial service, all of that stuff? Does the team just automatically come back together and everyone falls into their usual roles?
See, Paul, before I answer that, I'm going to say this. I can still hear the passion in your voice for that, being a Philly boy and a true Philadelphia Flyer fan. So I appreciate the passion you're telling and talking to me about. But you know what? Freddie was so far ahead of his time. And he would walk in and put that on the blackboard. And he's right. And you know what he said after? The next day we had a meeting, everybody comes together again. He said, "Guys, you're going to party. And you're going to love it. And you're going to party hardy. And you'll all be..." But he said, "You know when you're going to realize what you've done together as a team? 10 years down the road, when only so many of you guys will still be playing, the rest of you will be retired, you may have never won it again, some of you might have been lucky enough along your route to do it, but this game, this day, this championship will remain with you forever." And that was so true. When you go down 10 years down the road, and you have a reunion, and you bring all the guys, and Philly still has great reunions. They're strong alumni. They're unbelievable. And you know what they still appreciate and bring back all the old-timers. That makes me proud of being part of that team.
We're on Slapshot Radio. Zach, quick one for the coach.
Hey, Crispy. Quick question for you about your transition into coaching. You know, I was looking at the timeline of your career. You know, you played a few games with the Flyers in the 77-78 season, and then you were behind the bench for the team as an assistant coach that very next year. What was that transition like for you?
That was tough. You know what? I loved it. They were going to start trading me around. I said, no, they gave me a chance. I'll stay as assistant coach. I said, assistant coach to Fred Shiro, I'm in. You know, Zach, that was one of my best years because I learned just sitting with Freddie in meetings and watching him handle practices after having 5 years with Scotty Bowman, who was awesome, and I loved it. They were two polar opposites, and Freddie was always thinking ahead, but he never gave you the answer. He always gave the players the question and let them figure it out. He would do things in practice, et cetera, that the players had to come to terms with what was happening, what was going on. But it was tough to walk out of that dressing room as a player, having traveled with them, roomed with them, and then suddenly I got to be the guy to tell them to buck up and meet curfews, quit it, guys, do this. The guy who had to bag skate them in practices. It's not an easy transition. And believe me, I never had a better mentor to do it with than Fred Shiro. But it's not easy, and you have to really put aside a lot of personal feelings when you become a coach for what you did as a player.
We're on Slapshot Radio with three-time Stanley Cup winner Terry Crisp, and Terry's going to hang with us for the next segment, so we will be right back. But first, I want to tell you about our good friend Carter Church over at Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. I'm telling you, if you're looking for any kind of real estate in south of the area, in Murfreesboro, in Nolensville, in Brentwood, Carter's your man. You got to reach out to him, because I tell you what, not only is he just a good guy, you'll like hanging out with him, but the second thing is he really knows the market. He really knows his stuff. So you really need to give him a call. Carter Church at Weikart Realtors at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church is your real estate professional if you're buying or if you are selling. Carter Church from Weikart Realtors. We'll be right back on Slapshot Radio. Not bad, Elijah. Pulling it. Man. I like it. Now I want to drop the puck. I'm ready. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann with you, with the one and only Terry Crisp joining us for a second segment. You know, Terry, you just talked a little bit about making the transition from the bench to the coach, to a coach, and that it had to be even more challenging because you went from being a teammate to an assistant coach. I mean, right away, that had to really add some challenge to that whole situation.
And you know what the challenge was? And when I became a head coach after that, it taught me. But Freddie, when he wanted to make you part of the coaching staff, and he would give you duties, and probably the toughest duty he said to me, and you know, when I look back, he did it on purpose, and Brent can relate to this, being an assistant coach and whatnot. I had to go in and tell the players who weren't dressing. And then when I look back, I realized that Freddie was grooming me, was getting me ready for it, and which is the hardest thing to do. And Brent knows it. And Brent, you know, when you walk into that dressing room, in the later years, you used to walk in, if your jersey was hanging up, you're playing. If it wasn't, you weren't playing. Well, that was manure. You know what I mean? Come on. That's brutal. Walk in and look the guy in the eye and say, listen, you're not dressing tonight. Now, get ready for the storm. Because all athletes have pride. All athletes want to play. And one of the biggest, toughest things I learned from Freddie was when you had to walk in to the dressing room and tell the player that he's not playing. Oh, but by the way, you're going out for warm-ups. So that really ticked him off, Ben. Because
bet.
In case somebody got hit in warm-ups with a puck or something went wrong in the old days, he went out for warm-ups. But when I was a player and they used to do it to me, I loved it because that was the most ice time I got.
On the line with Terry Crisp on Slapshot Radio. Coach, what you got for Terry?
Hey, Terry. Yeah, you've been in the league for over 40 years, maybe more than that, 50 years, maybe even 60 years. But who is the best player you've ever seen play the game of hockey? One person that you would say was the best player that you have seen since you joined the NHL years and years ago, as a coach, as a player, as a broadcaster, who do you think is the best player you've ever seen?
To have fun with, or the best player I've played against or with?
Best player you played against, with, whoever you played against. Could have been anybody.
Bobby Orr. I never had the honor of playing against Gretz. I coached against him, and he's marvelous and wonderful. Mario Lemieux, the same thing. Never had a chance. But I had a chance to play against Bobby Orr. And I know we can go around and around in circles on eras and different decades and et cetera, and John Beliveau and Gordie Howe. But in my mind, I look at Bobby Orr. And I always cringe and sort of almost cry when I think of what that man, young guy, could have put up, what he did before he had that bad knee and he had all those, I think, 9 or 10 bad operations on his knee and whatnot. If he had stayed healthy and been able to do what he could have done, the records he put up. So, in a word, Bobby Orr.
You know, it's funny because you're looking at a transitional player there. That was, I mean, because if you look at Bobby Orr, really the first defenseman to really show that he could be a scorer as well and be an offensive dynamo. I mean, I can't think of a defenseman before Bobby Orr that could do that.
You know what? When Bobby Orr came into effect, he changed what a defenseman was in the world. And when you think of Bobby Orr, you have to think of, and I look at down the line of guys, Bobby Orr, Dennis Potvin, Paul Coffey, and you guys could probably throw one or two more names out there for me to bail me out. But this is what these gentlemen brought to the game. it's not all defense. The best skaters were defensemen, backwards and forwards. And Bobby Orr, when he came in, he changed the whole routine of coaching's attitudes, of players' attitudes. Doug Harvey, one of the greatest defensemen ever in the league. I'm not sure most games Doug ever went over center ice. Didn't have to, because he made the plays before center ice to all of his teams. But Orr and Potvin and Coffey and those guys, yeah, they were the ones who changed the whole attitude as to what and how defensemen should play.
Hey, Coach, you know, quick question for you. Kind of echoing off of what Brent was saying, you know, you played on, by all accounts, a legendary team. I think that any time a team gets its own nickname, like the Broad Street Bullies, that is a team that is the stuff of legends. In your estimation, who was the best team you ever played against?
Against?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good one, because it's probably the Montreal Canadiens, because when we were swashbuckling through our Broad Street Bully days, your dad and I go over them all the time. All night, we were doing a good job. We were beating the living tired of everybody doing it. The only team that realized, because we won a cup in 74, Philly. We won a cup in 75, Philly. We met the Montreal Canadiens in 76, and they did their homework. And Brent Peterson can tell you this as the coach sitting beside you tonight. The Montreal Canadiens went out and stacked up with tough guys. And I'm trying to think of the names right now. Larry Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they brought in all those Wilson. They brought in about five tough guys that could match us punch for punch. They already were as good as us skill-wise, but nobody protected their skill-wise until that year. And in that year in the playoffs and the finals, we met them again for our third Stanley Cup in a row, They swept us. And they swept us because they learned what it would take to knock the Broad Street Bullies off the pedestal. So to answer your question, Montreal Canadiens.
Wow.
Yeah, no question about that, because, I mean, and it's funny because everyone always talked about the Flyers as being that team that would just beat you up. But, I mean, good Lord, was there talent on that team. And you just said it, Crispy. It was the matter of there was protection for the talent. Boy, nobody went near Bobby Clark, for heaven's sakes. The entire team would fall on you.
Exactly. You know what? We used to laugh, and we never said out loud. We didn't say it in the papers. But it took the Montreal Canadiens to realize first and early that if you're going to go to war, you better have cannons and not pop guns. And he loaded up with cannons, I hear, against us and beat us four straight. But I always go back, and whenever I do interviews and whatnot, and I loved our teams, we had a lot of skilled players.
Oh, yeah.
Quote the Broad Street Bullies. Paul, you know, let's start with Bernie Perron. Then let's go back to Jimmy Watson and Tommy Bladen on defense with big Eddie Van Impe. But go up front. I mean, Clark, Barber, and Leach. And then you come back with Kindrachuk and Lonsberry.
Oh, man.
And whoever else you want to throw. Simon Nolet.
Barber.
On our first one.
Yep.
Billy Barber. I mean, McLeish. Go down the line. Everybody had a role to play. And the mastermind in that role was Freddie Sherrill. And like I said, when I got traded from the Islanders to the Flyers, I said to my coach that was trading me from the Islanders, what do the Flyers want with me? He said, I have no idea. No idea. So I asked Freddie, what do you want with me? He says, we're going into a new era, and we want one of the best penalty killers and defensive players. And Scotty Bowman and him once said that you're pretty good at it, so that's why we have you. And your job is going to be to kill penalties and play defensive hockey. Well, I got to tell you guys, in my career, in a lot of games, I had more ice time than Clark, Barber, Leach, and McLeish all totaled.
Wow.
Well, only because you had Schultz and Lonsberry and both of the Watson boys in the penalty box most of the time. You're on the penalty kill most of the time.
You got it. You had a lot of penalties, didn't you?
You know what? You did. Exactly.
Well, it's funny because I'm looking at the stats right now for that year of 74-75, and you have Terry Crisp with 20 penalty minutes, and then right below him, you have Dave Schultz with 472.
And go over Moose DuPont.
Oh, yeah.
The Leslie. And a few other ones, Zach, that were out there. Now, think about it. Those guys are in the penalty box. Guess who's on the ice?
Penalty killers.
I used to tell the referees when the game was going bad, dull, I'd say, one of our guys would trip a guy. Like, I'd say that Joey Watson tripped a guy, and I yelled to the ref, hey, ref, Joey Watson just tripped that guy. That's a penalty. Penalty, ref. The ref would look at me like, you got two heads, that's your player. I want on the ice.
So, Crispy, one more question before we let you go. It's really interesting that when you've mentioned a few of the names that are familiar to Nashville Predator fans, but not necessarily the person that you were referring to, but the last name is certainly familiar. I mean, when you look at some of the bloodlines in the National Hockey League, Bud Poile, one of the first first members of the front office of the Philadelphia Flyers, Fred Sherrow, his son Ray has turned into an outstanding general manager. Talk about just the family ties when it comes to the National Hockey League.
The family ties are what you see in all sports. And if they're brought through it and want to do it and love it, and the father loves it and the mother loves it, by the way, mom better be on that one, that they're blessed. They've got a foot up on everybody. The dad's been through it. Probably an uncle has been through it. And today's game you watch, the ones who go to academies, skating academies, any sport, soccer, baseball, it doesn't matter. If you're born into a family that has it and you have it, you're lucky. But before I sign off with you guys, I forgot to mention one thing.
Uh-oh.
Remember a little ways back we were talking about ore and coffee and pot fan?
Yeah.
Now, not to say it's this thing, but we have a gentleman on our team called Roman Yossi.
Yep.
And every night that he hits the ice, we have an exciting, dynamic hockey player in Roman Yossi that does the stuff that those gentlemen did.
And that's a great way to wrap that up. Crispy, thank you so much for taking the time. Please, love to your beautiful bride, and take care of yourself. We hope to see you soon.
Thank you, guys. And Brent, you say hello to Tammy for me. You guys, Zach and Paul, say hello to Denise for me.
Absolutely.
And Sheila says hi to all you guys.
Okay. Love it. Take care, Chris.
And to all our fans out there, stay safe, please.
All righty. Terry Crisp. From year one here in Nashville as a color man, and just has become a wonderful part of the Nashville community.
There's no icon.
Question about it. No question about it. And we'll be back to wrap this hour up on Slapshot Radio in just a few minutes right here on 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio in Nashville. Very nice choices tonight, Elijah.
A subtle reminder to stay safe at the weather that's coming in.
I like it. I like it.
Sorry to hear.
Yep. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on the Game Nashville app. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, and Brent Peterson closing up another hour of Slapshot Radio. And it's always fascinating to hear talk of how things happened. And Brent, you can speak to this because you could see just by what happened in Crispy's career. Nowadays you can kind of go assistant manager in the National Hockey League to the head coach. If you're assistant coach, you can go to a head coach job. Back in those days, you weren't making that jump. I mean, he had literally had to go down to juniors.
Mm-hmm. Freddie Sherrow was the first guy that had an assistant coach. They only had head coaches. That's the only guys who were behind the bench before Crispy became the first. Mike Nikolic was the assistant coach for a while there. But Crispy was the first guy to go behind the bench as an assistant coach with an NHL team. They all had just one head coach. And Crispy, by the way, he's what a treat to have him on tonight. What a treat he is for the whole, all the people love him in town here.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we've been fortunate enough to have the best people involved in our organization. You and Zach and Crispy and P. Weber and Donick and
the whole game. Faces, yeah.
Great people, and it's really fun to work with you guys. I really, really appreciate everything you've done.
Oh, well, it is a blast. There's no question about that. But you look at that development. You look at what had to happen these days. I mean, you know, you look at the youth in the head coaching ranks. And, you know, it's funny because, Zach, you mentioned something just in the break that you kind of didn't realize that he had, you know, that he took the Tampa Bay Lightning from, you know, from expansion.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was the inaugural coach.
And the interesting piece was that the inaugural coach of the Nashville Predators broke Terry Crisp's record for most most games coached by a team with the inaugural team.
Coach, yeah.
So, I mean, and Barry Trotz just destroyed that one. And that was actually a pretty good record. I mean, he was Tampa's head coach for 6 years before I think it was like 11 games into the 97 season, you know, being let go. And to our everlasting glee, that's part of what brought him to Nashville. So, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, Coach, I want to ask you, because Zach and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. We asked Crisp what the best team he ever played against. I want to ask you the same question. What's the best team you ever played against?
The best best team was probably Edmonton Oilers the years I played during that, when they won the four cups in 5 years or whatever they won. They were the best. Montreal was the second best. Montreal already won four cups in a row, and the Islanders had already won four cups in a row when I got there. So at the time, the Edmonton Oilers were just, they were a great team. They up and down the lineup, from Gretzky to Messier to Coffey to Grant Fuhr. They had a great team, great. They changed the game back in the 70s. Like, it was the 70s, it was the late 70s where the Montreal Canadiens and the Islanders did it with both grit and, you know, toughness and that, but the Oilers just skated right by you every time, and they were so fast, they were so skilled, they did everything with speed, and they had Semenko and some tough guys to take care of their good players.
Yep.
But they were just so good, they were so skilled and so fast, and the Detroit Red Wings would be right behind them, those teams of the five Russians and all those kind of guys. Detroit was a good team, too.
Yeah,
they had great teams, too.
For my money, I think the best hockey team I've ever watched has to be the 02 Red Wings. That 01, 02, yeah. I mean, they had, what, like 11 Hall of Famers on that roster?
Unbelievable,
I mean, just the level of talent. I mean, you have, what, Scotty Bowman behind the bench, Steve Yzerman at the helm as a captain. I mean, watching them come into Nashville, and it was just, I mean, you coached against them, Brent. I mean, I'm sure, what do you do preparing for a team like that?
Well, you just beg a guy to even get out of the dressing room. None of them want to come out of the dressing room. Just stay in the dressing room and enjoy it. Yeah, it was tough because they're at $74 million at the time. We were at $20 million, so we played them in that first round, first year, and they beat the heck out of us. And we finally won a game won a game at home against them, and finally beat them in a playoff series. But it took a lot of years, and we really modeled ourselves after them because they were the standard for everybody to go by after.
I tell you what, it's funny because mine's a toss-up. I mean, because you're absolutely right, Coach. Those 80s Oilers teams were just unbelievable to watch. But I will tell you, I always really, really liked those early 70s Boston teams. They called them the Big Bad Bruins before the Broad Street Bullies. Mm-hmm. That team, when you look at Phil Esposito, Bobby Orr, I mean, just the names on those teams, and believe me, growing up in Philly, I always hated Boston. But those Bruins teams in the early 70s were really just some fun teams to watch. So, I mean, it's kind of a toss up, and I think it's more of, you know, one of the first teams that I really saw really play the game of hockey really well in those early 70s, and that kind of still sticks in my mind, you know, as a young hockey fan in the very early 70s. But it's fascinating though, because it is the best team you've ever seen is always a very, very personal
you know, type of thing, because there's just different reasons why think that way. So, well, Coach, made it through another one, and hopefully next week, who knows, maybe we might even be able to get you out of your isolation booth. And if you can sneak past Tammy and just kidding, Tammy.
I'm planning on coming out there. It'd be a lot easier for me to be there, but I enjoyed being on with you guys, and it's been great. But I'd love to be there live now.
Absolutely. Well, look, you take care of yourselves, Zach. Thank you very much. And
of course.
And guys, please, I know it's really, really tempting right now. It's like, oh, I'm tired of this. I want to get out there. Please be careful. Please look out for each other. And please be safe, because we want you back listening to Slapshot Radio next week and doing it healthy. Thanks for joining us on Slapshot Radio. We're back next week at 7 p.m. A big thank you to our guests, three-time Stanley Cup winner Terry Crisp, and of course our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Whitecart Realtors, the Andrews Group, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. When you visit one of our sponsors, please make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Elijah did a heck of a job on the Wheels of Steel tonight. Our co-hosts, the coach, Brent Peterson, the host of the Predators Watch Party, Zach McCann. I'm Paul McCann, saying good night and good hockey.